Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Now, we've been talking about the flesh and the spirit, been talking about walking in the spirit. There is no Christian nowadays that is going to be able to combat wrong thinking without the Bible and prayer. It can't be done. There's no way it can be done. What goes in your eye affects your heart. And that's why the Lord tries to tell you to put the Bible in, put the Bible in, put the Bible in, put the Bible in. It can't be emphasized enough. You heard one of the questions that was asked there in Q&A today was about the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God. That's not just swinging a 1611 hammer and, you know, and all that and 66 calibers and making a big deal about believing the King James Bible. It only works if you believe it, if you work it, if you do it. If you don't apply it, you can read it till the cows come home. The same way as reading the Quran. It's not going to do you any good unless you apply it. And all that'll do is maybe make you more moral and have a bunch of wives and all that kind of stuff. And then a bunch of virgins when you die a martyr. But beyond that, it ain't going to help you at all. But that book will change you. But only if you apply it. Even the parts you don't like. Those are the hard parts. I call those parts medicine. You say, why? I don't know of a medicine I like. It tastes bad going in. But it makes you well. But it's not, I wouldn't want to make a meal of it. I mean, I don't even care if it's Pepto-Bismol. It's like drinking pink chalkboard chalk, man. Say, well, it's, yeah, it'd make your tummy feel better, but I wouldn't want to drink that for dinner. It's not like a milkshake. All the medicines that you can take and all the vitamins they tell you to take that supposedly to make you to feel better. Well, I know the Bible will change you if you're willing to do what it says to do. But it's called medicine. And it's called medicine for a reason, because sometimes when you eat it, it's bitter when you taste it, but it's good for you when you get it down. All right, Jeremiah chapter 4, I'll give you a couple of verses here, and then I'm going to give you some verses that you might want to write down that will help you with your thought life. And your thought life, before you run off into a ditch now with that, your thought life is more than just physical or sexual thoughts. It has to do with whether or not you're thinking like God thinks. Watch. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. So it's not just the physical, reproductive kind of thinking that you might think it is that gets preached on all the time. It has to do with, is my attitude Christ-like? Am I sober-minded when it comes to the things that God says I should be sober-minded about? Do I react the right way when I'm in the wrong position? Do I handle things the way I'm supposed to handle things? I mean, according to what God said, not what popular opinion says, unless you're a politician. Jeremiah chapter number 4, watch what he says, if you will, please, in verse 14. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Come over to Matthew chapter 15, and then I'll let you have a seat there. Matthew chapter number 15. Come all the way down to verse number 19. 15, 19, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Brother Matthew, you pray, ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Thank you. Have a seat. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Now, what he just said right there is that touching something isn't what makes you dirty. What he said makes you dirty is what you think. It's in your heart. Out of the heart proceedeth the things that we listed there in the passage. Well, if that's the case, then we have to change how we think about things. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your what? Hearts and what? Minds. How? You know what he just said right there? Worry is in your thoughts. What are you worried about tonight? You say, well, it's a legitimate worry. Is it? Do you know 82% of the things that people worry about never even come to fruition? That's a carnal number. That's not a scientific biblical number. That's just a number that I got from doing some research. 82%. If that number were even half right, it would mean 46% of the things that people worry about don't come true, but they worry about them. Obsessively, compulsively worry about them. You know where that comes from? It comes from the heart. Look in Colossians chapter number 3. Just come over one book. Colossians chapter number 3. Look in verse number 15. And let the peace of God rule in your what? To the which ye also be called in one body, be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You think he's making a reference to the verse above it? Well, let's go on and see. In all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. Where's that heart? It has to do with what's on the inside. All right, let me help you with your mindset. We'll just run through some verses here and we'll get out and go home early and get a cinnamon roll on the way to the house. How's that sound? It was pretty hard on you during Bible study. And hopefully maybe you consider taking some of that to heed. All right, how am I going to clear my mind? What am I going to do? Well, you are what you think about. And you think about it all the time, then you're going to wind up becoming that. That doesn't mean that you go out like people that do with Amway or Melaleuca or the other Ponzi schemes, the pyramid schemes. If I put a Maserati up there and I stare at the Maserati, I'm going to wind up with a Maserati one day. Well, you might become an auto thief and get a Maserati, or you might go buy a model of one, but just because you hang a picture on your wall doesn't mean you're going to have one. You say, why? That requires somebody to work. You can hang all of that, all the toys you want to out there, what you're dreaming to get and all you're going to be. And when you get to be a diamond and have all the people underneath you and you're selling all the stuff that's out there, you're going to change the world and have the big crusades and stuff like that and drive around in a Bentley and stuff. You can dream all that you want, but dreaming it don't do it. It requires sweat. You got to work. You got to put calluses on your hands. I watch some of these kids sometimes. They watch sports players and that kind of a thing. You know, they look like a stinking whiskey barrel with pipe cleaners for legs, and they're sitting there looking at it, and in their mind's eye, they're rising up above the rim and slam dunking it, you know, like Michael Jordan did. And they hadn't even got off their potato chip stuff behind to get out onto a basketball court and learn how to bounce a ball, let alone be able to dunk a ball. You say, oh, preacher, that's kind of harsh. No, it's the truth. And some of you expect to be a Christian and you don't apply anything in Christ's life. And then you're always upset about something. You say, why? Because you're not applying it. You're just sitting there like the potato chip stuff, whiskey barrel with pipe cleaners for legs, dreaming one day I'm going to dunk a ball. Not unless somebody drops you out of a crane. Maybe you get on a trampoline and jump up there and do the thing. What a cheap way to get around. I can't dunk the ball, but I can jump on a trampoline and spin around and do that. We'll get out there with the big boys and do it. You don't want to do the. You're always looking for a way to cut the corner. I watch that stuff and I think he won't ever play basketball. He'll be do good to play ping pong. Guy sits there and look at that stuff. He thinks to himself, breaks out in a sweat just watching the guy sitting, you know, like this, you know. And he's thinking, whew, man, it looks like too much work to do. Give me another bag of chips. That's how some of you are when it comes to. You wonder why you have a problem in your mind. You don't apply the stuff in the book. I said earlier, not the stuff you like. You apply that all the time. I don't have any problem eating ice cream. She can bring home one of them pint things, ice cream. I ask her to only get me a pint at a time. If she gets you a half a gallon, I'll eat the whole half a gallon. I don't have any problem at all eating ice cream. She puts broccoli and spinach. Now, I can eat it, but I got to be honest with you. I have a harder time getting. I know it's good for me. Sometimes you'll have to say, I tell you what I'll do. If you'll eat the broccoli and the spinach, I'll give you a little ice cream. You say, surely not. Oh, sure, man. You're sure. You know how we are with the Bible? We like the ice cream. We like the pie. Boy, I like the goodness of God and the grace of God. But I don't like that medicine. I don't like that medicine that cleans me out. I feel better when I'm cleaned out, but I don't like the process. Colossians chapter 3, look in verse number 2. The Bible says this, here's number one, if you want to write them down, it's about 7 or 8 of these things, and I think it'll help you, just practical stuff. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. You say, preacher, what does that do for me? Makes you live for eternity instead of here. You ever realize how easy it is? Come to Romans chapter number 6. You ever realize how easy it is, ladies and gentlemen, to get focused on the things around you, to get consumed with the things around you, to get worried about the things that are around you, and then before long, you haven't even thought about the judgment seat of Christ. You haven't thought about going home to eternity. You haven't thought about eternity and meeting Jesus and all that. All you've thought about is whatever you're facing tomorrow. You're just wrapped up in the problems. You know what he said? Set your affections. You say, what is your affections? That's what you're supposed to have for your spouse. That's what you really care about. That's what you really love deeply. Your affections are there, not just a passive, yeah, I really like it a lot. No, man, I'm all in. That's skin in the game. That's you're willing to put in all your feelings. Listen, you can't tell your husband or your wife, your spouse, you can't say, yeah, I love you, and there's no show of affection. It don't work. The affection shows you're in. It shows that you're up when they're sick and you're taking care of them. You say, what is that? That's affection. When it's inconvenient, when it's hard, when you say, what is that? That's affection. That's not saying anything. That's saying, you have affected me to the point that I'm willing to go out of my way to make you happy. People say, what's marriage like? Losing a tug of war. She's trying to lose and you're trying to lose. Here, no, you win. No, you win. No, you win. No, you won last time. You win. No, I win too many times. No, you go ahead and win. No, I want you to win. I want you to win. I want to be the loser. That's a marriage. You say, what? They'd be happy that way. Man, I fight with my husband and he loses all the time. I fight with my wife. She loses all the time. You'd be surprised. It won't be long. You won't be fighting. You ain't got nothing to fight over. You know why you fight? So one of you can win. Well, if all I'm doing is losing, what's the fun of fighting? Did I just solve your marital problems? Well, preacher, that's profound. The only reason you fight is you want to be right. The only reason you fight is because you're selfish. The only reason you fight if the Bible's right is because your pride is there. There's no other reason you fight. You want it your way. That's not Christ-like. You know what the Lord said? Y'all have it your way. See the medicine? That just don't even feel right. But that's what's at the base of every fight. I'm going to win. I'm right. My rights have been taken advantage of. I have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And you violated my rights. Really? I think the book says something about you have two rights, die and pay taxes. If anybody had rights, it was the Lord. You know what he was always doing? Giving them away. Yeah, but preacher, you know, there's just times. Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. But if you set your affections, you realize whatever that thing is, it's but a fleeting moment. You're making a lifetime out of it. Graveyards are full of people that took it to the grave with them. And they get up in front of the Lord and they don't have the joy, joy, joy down in their heart. Hurry, Romans 6, verse number 14. No, I'll make it 6. Let's just get the whole thing here. Knowing this, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more domination over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it, and the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and the members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. Now that's some good in things. You see, what am I supposed to do? Put off the old man, put on the new man. Requires effort. If you don't know what the new man is supposed to do, you have to read, what is the new man supposed to do? He's giving you a new suit to put on. So I don't know how does it fit. I got to find out. How do I wear the suit? Where's the helmet go? Where's the blessed prayer to righteousness go? Where's the girt about with truth? Where does that go? Or the girdle go? Where does the sword go? Where does the feet shod with the gospel preparation of peace go? Where do all these things go? How does it fit? How do I work with it? What is the new man supposed to look like? Well, if you don't know much about it, you got to read to find out. But you know what he said? You have to put off the old man. He's already told you it's done. But now guess what? After you're saved, you now have to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm tired of that guy. And I'm going to have to do like the new guy. And guess what? The old guy knows how to think, but the new guy doesn't. So you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to renew it every day. Every day. Why? Because the new man doesn't have instructions. He doesn't come with a GPS system. You got to tell him what to do. He don't even know how to. He doesn't even know how to wear his clothes. What is the new man? Well, I have a list of things. We'll go over it probably on Sunday. But here's the thing you have to recognize. It requires sweat. You understand it requires effort. Salvation's instantaneous. This is the hardest thing for me to tell Christians. When I tell people this, when I go to meetings and preach and I say, hey, listen, being a Christian requires efforts, immediately you see them go, I don't know any other way to tell you. You can be saved because of what he did just that quick. You cannot be a Christian that quick. You say, what does it do? It takes a lifetime. You know what it is constantly? Constantly. For me. I don't know for you. For me, it is constantly having to surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. I had to change the words. I surrender some. I surrender some. I surrender some. Because every time I say, oh Lord, you got it all. The Lord said, okay, good. Let's talk. Boy, I'm so glad. Hallelujah, brother. What a blessing. Glory to God. Michael, Gabriel, come down here. Peacock said he surrendered all. How about that bitterness? How about that pride? Well, Lord, I thought I surrendered it all. Oh, okay. Might want to be a little more careful next time. But in the meantime, you see some things there that are attributes of the old man, aren't they? Yes, sir. Okay, take them off. Lord, I'll be naked. No, put on the new man. What's the opposite of pride? Humble. Down boy. Warriors always walk best with their head bowed. Down boy. Yeah, but Lord, do you know who you're asking me to bow to? Down, boy. Takes effort. Gravity's even in your favor. Boy, that's hard to do. You ever know when the Bible tells you that you're wrong? Galatians 5, you ever know the Bible tells you you're wrong? And the Lord says, do you love me? Lord, thou knowest I love thee. I've left this out the other day when I preached this thing several months ago now that I preached this. But you know, he comes up there with Peter. There's 153 fishes that are there. You ever know before the Lord says, feed my lambs, you ever know what he says when he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. You ever look at that passage? You know what he says? He said, Pete, love me more than these. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You see, what's he pointing to? He can't be pointing to disciples. Because Paul would said, comparing yourself among yourself and measuring yourself by yourself is not wise. At the end of John 21, Peter is saying something about John there, and the Lord said, what I'm doing with John is none of your business. So it can't be people that he's comparing him to. I think the Lord's pointing at those fishes. He said, Peter, you love me more than these? And Peter's thinking, man, those fish went and jumped in a net and died for other people to eat. You say, where do you get that out of that passage, preacher? He spake of how Peter should die. When you get older, Peter, they're going to carry you where thou wouldn't go. It's right in the passage. Pete, you love me more than these? Christian, you love him more than the fish that jumped in the net and gave their life to feed other people? More than your reputation? I don't know if you do. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just being straight-faced. I'm maybe a little tired or something, but you're sober as a judge. I'm just trying to. Do you love them more than those? Would you die to yourself tonight so that others could get fed? Ask Peter, why wouldn't he ask us? He spake of how Peter said, Peter, you know what? You wouldn't die before, but when you get old, you know what they're going to do? They're going to carry you where you wouldn't go, but you're going to go willingly. Lovest thou me? Hard to put on that new man, isn't it? You mean die? Yeah. Career, desires, what you want, where you want to go, whatever you... What do you think the Lord does in Gethsemane? Not my will, but thine be done. Pete, just what I'm going to tell you about the fish. Galatians chapter number 5. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh... I'm sorry, verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the what? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, and then he gives you all the things that are there. And then you know what he says? Of which I tell you before, come down to 21, and I've told you before, I'll tell you in times past, that they which do such things, guess what happens? You wind up losing the inheritance. You know what he says up there in verse number 17? He says, verse number 16, walk in the what? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, lust against spirit, spirit against the flesh. Is that right? Is that what it says? Okay, if I want to change my mind, you know what I have to do? I have to be willing to put my flesh down. How do I put the flesh down, preacher? Save yourself the trouble of trying to discipline yourself, okay? You can't do it. Some of you are phenomenal athletes, and some of you are disciplined when it comes to diet, and some of you are disciplined. Some of you, you train like a world-class athlete. The way you get up and go to work every day and dive into work and work your fingers to the bone and do everything you're supposed to do to be successful in business and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're committed to that stuff. And so you think because you're committed to that stuff, if I just apply the same disciplinary tactics, then I will be able to overcome that flesh. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. That flesh will take that discipline and discipline you and train you to take care of that flesh. You know what it'll say? You work so hard. You work so... Man, you know, you deserve a break. I mean, you don't need to be going to church, having all that mental stress put on you. You need a breather, man. And people don't like you anyway. Why would you even want to go there? Your flesh will talk you right into it. Let me just shave you the trouble, okay? Here's how you do it. I have to learn to walk in the Spirit. What's that like? You have to get in the book to find out. What's walking in the Spirit? I'll boil it down to this. Doing what God says to do when He says to do it. What's walking in the flesh? Disobeying God. Which one's closer to the devil? The one that's disobedient. Don't call me the devil. Okay. That was certainly a godly response. So what are you telling me? Have to learn to walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Read your Bible, pray. I told you when we started, you are not going to change your mind without getting in the book. It ain't going to happen. I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. That's your flesh talking. Because you know what? You're reading the Bible and it's telling you to do things your flesh does not want to do. I go to the gym one day and they're going to change up things. They're going to hit muscles from different angles and stuff like that. And I had a little bit of success and so on and so forth. And I'm in there going, they're doing these different, they're called giant sets. And they're just, it's like insanity on steroids. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. Why would I do that? That's like crazy. That's like punishment. That's crazy. You know what the guy that set up the routine for the guy that was preparing for a contest, you know what he did? And he said, yeah, you know what? You won't ever look like him either. I said, why do you say that? He goes, because you ain't willing to pay the price. You want to be a good Christian? You're going to have to be willing to pay the price. It's time somebody told you that. I hate to tell you. It's not just, oh, we go to church and we had some singing. It was so good. We just had a wonderful time and had a little preaching and, oh, praise Jesus. It was just wonderful. And yet, no. Then it's you're 4 pounds overweight and you got to do weigh-in tomorrow, so you better go get in the dryer and put on a rubber suit so you can drop 4 pounds of water. So you can qualify for your weight class. But my hands hurt. My glutes are bothering me. And I'm really sore and I don't want to get out of bed. Then don't play. There's a thing called spiritual soreness. And I can tell you, when you apply that book, I guarantee you it will wear your flesh out like nobody's business. You will be tired. You think you are in the throes of depression. You say, why? Your flesh is pouting. I just can't sleep, and I just can't eat, and I'm having bowel trouble, and I just don't know what I even read. I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, I've been trying to get right with the Lord. I just don't feel good. That's your flesh punishing you. See what happens when you get spiritual? Tell it to shut up. Train through it. Well, it hurts. I know it hurts. I do. I know it hurts. It hurts bad. Sometimes you know what you have to do. You have to cut off apron strings of those friends. See why? They're dragging you to the bottom. I saw a movie as a guy that was a real well-known mountain climber thing. And he climbed these mountains and have all these ropes and stuff. And they were climbing some frozen tundra place or something or another. And he got up there. They reenacted the thing. And this has happened early in his career. And he got up there and the guy slipped off the mountain or something like that. It's a true story. And he got up there and he tried and tried and tried to get the other guy up. And the other guy couldn't get up. And they were not going to be able to get there. And they're just trying to wait and see what's going to happen. And they're out there all by themselves. And the guy underneath the bottom of the thing right there said, you're going to have to do it. Or we're both going to die. And the story about that great mountain climber, it's just a little book. It ain't hardback. It ain't that thick. And that story of that thing is they cried and they talked back and forth. And maybe we could do this. Maybe they said, hey, you've tried everything. Go back, he said, and tell the story. And the guy took out his knife and cut the dead weight. So, well, I'd have gone down with him. Yeah, that's what some of you are doing right now. You're so bound and determined to hold on to what's dragging you down, you'd rather die than cut it loose. You know what the Lord's saying? Cut it and live to tell the story. I'll make up the difference for you. But it's hard, isn't it? Hurts, don't it? I think it does. Hurt me plenty. Romans chapter 8. Just a couple more of these. We doing okay on time? This is a tough one. But it's a true one. Verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors. Not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye, brethren, live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit mortify the deeds thereof, ye shall live. Of the body, ye shall live. You know what he just said to you? If I want to walk in the Spirit, you know what I have to do? I can't do what my body wants to do. If I'm saved, it has nothing to do if I want to smoke cigarettes. You want to smoke cigarettes? Smoke them if you got them. Bad testimony. Get addicted to tar and nicotine. Jam your lungs up. Wind up with esophageal cancer or throat cancer, or you'll wind up with lung cancer or emphysema. You'll wind up with hardening of the arteries or some other kind of disease. But if you want to do that, you can, but you can't claim the verses and say, now, Lord, could you heal me up here? I mean, because I just can't kick the habit. No, you're going to die. And maybe an unpleasant death. Well, I know a guy, he smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day, lived to be 100. Yeah, that's your flesh talking to you. You think you'll be that guy. You'll die before you're 50. There was a time that they didn't tell you what I'm about to tell you, but when people came down with AIDS, people that were practicing that lifestyle, they didn't live to be 60, 70, and 80 years of age. They died before they were 50. They didn't tell you that. And they said, just practice safe relationships. You die. You say, why? You get a disease. If you live after the flesh, after you're saved, you die. Come to Romans chapter number 13. Let me show you something here. Romans 13. I don't know how to make it plainer to you. Christians, you know, they get saved and then they keep going to the club and they keep drinking and they keep doing all the stuff and doing all the dope and things like that. They think, oh, I'm saved now. Yeah, but your body ain't saved. Listen, if you got saved and you had cirrhosis of the liver, your liver didn't get saved. You quit drinking, but the cirrhosis ain't going to get healed. And even if he has given you victory over liquor, the damage you did, you didn't get a new liver. That you ain't cleaned up there. That part of the atonement's not made until the rapture. But your soul's saved. But it's a hard thing to get Christians. It just sounds so old-fashioned. So white horse preacher. My goodness, preacher. You sound like a guy from back in the 1950s telling us that all the stuff we're doing is wrong. I didn't say it was wrong. I said if you want to be spiritual, you can't do it and be spiritual. I'm not telling you don't do it. Help yourself. But you can't do it and be spiritual. But you can do it and be saved. How do you like a Baptist preacher telling you that? Preacher, I find that hard to believe. Yeah, that's because you think whatever sins you're committing, people, you know, they're not quite as bad. You're not that bad sinner. You're a little more spiritual than they are. You might be lower on the rung than they are, maybe. Romans chapter 13, look in verse number, 14. 13, let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Hard not to make provision for it, isn't it? When it comes to food, I generally plan on it. You ever do that? 1 John chapter 3. You say, what do you mean? When I'm getting ready to go out, if we pick a place to eat, you know why I pick the place to eat? I've already thought about what's on the menu, and I'm already thinking about what I want to eat, what I want to get filled up with. You ever do that before? Why would you go to the restaurant if you don't know what's on the menu? And go to some place and get into the restaurant, and then you're sitting there thinking, man, I don't like nothing on the... Well, you go check it out first, right? Look at Yelp or whatever the thing is. I don't know. Some little red thing you look at and look at the menu and how many... thumbs up they get because they did their own signatures and everybody likes it and that kind of thing. I go in there, you know what I figure? I think I'll have this as a have a salad and I think I'll have a steak. And then I look in there and say, well, I'm probably going to have a little dessert, you know, because it's a special night out. And the Lord says, hey, pear man, you might want to go look in the mirror. And you go look in the mirror and you go, don't look too bad to me. And the Lord said, take a look at the profiles. Oh, no. Make not provision. It's the same as a diet. Do you make provision for the flesh? Okay. Smoke them if you got them. But you can't be spiritual and do it. You're going to struggle. That's why some of you are so miserable. You're spiritually constipated all the time. You're just constantly just straining all the time. You say, why? You're making too much provision for the flesh. And you're trying to be spiritual. You can't understand. Why can't I be spiritual? You're making too much provision for your flesh. Look in 1 John 3. This is a good one. I like John writing this stuff. Look in verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Here's the key. Here's the secret. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. Oh, wait, hold on. What now? He just said, you know, you're going to be like him. But you know what he just gave you? A key. If I think the rapture's fixing to happen, I bet you it'll help me control my flesh. I bet if I'm thinking about how's this going to play out at the judgment seat. You know why you sin? You think the judgment seat's something going to happen 10 years from now. You think you got plenty of time. If you saw sin the way God sees sin, you'd want to get rid of it just as quick as you could. But you know what you do? He's like, well, I got time. I can work on it. And not if you're going to appear in judgment. You know what that man said over there? He said, you know what I believe I'm going to do? I'm going to build me some bigger barns. Man, I've had such a harvest here. I need a place to store it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me some bigger barns. You know what the Lord did? He stepped in right before that boy. He took his last Z's there. He stepped in there and he said, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of thee. You ain't going to build no barns. You ain't going to kick back and enjoy the harvest anymore. I'm done with you. Time's up. Out. You know what you're doing, Christian? I'll get it tomorrow or the next day. You want to stay in fellowship with the Lord and walk in the Spirit? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us and cleanse us and cleanse us of what? Do you like to be dirty? Why you have unconfessed sin in your life? You didn't think about that. Must be in there. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and evil speaking be put away with you at all malice. Right? Intentional hurt. And forgive. I'm just saying. You want to be spiritual? Well, there it is. But now do you know why a lot of people aren't spiritual? And I can tell you this right now. Look, if you will, please, in 1 Corinthians 11. Let me give you two more here. I realize time's getting close, but just let me give you two more. You know why most people aren't spiritual? They're not going to put in the sweat. You know why most people don't become exceptional in athletics or in academics? They won't put in the sweat. That's why they don't want to go through the hurt and the pain. They wouldn't mind the flash mob coming out and snapping pictures and the paparazzi and, you know, scored the winning goal or the basket or the knocked it in the hole or whatever it is you did. They wouldn't mind that, but they wouldn't put in the time for that. But they don't mind being over there while you're getting a picture took. You know why a lot of people aren't spiritual? They don't want to put in the time. It's too much effort. Preach like this, you know what happened? People say, man, I'm going to church down the road. All you got to do there is show up, throw a little money in the plate. You're all good. You come over there, man, it's always like, man, when does it stop? When you're dead. Amen. It don't stop till then. Not if you want to be spiritual. You can be a carnal pogue if you want to be. Literally. And come to church and be happy most of the time. You can. Really. Most Christians, most saved people, that's where they are. They're a part of a social club called the church, and they just hang out and they just have a good time. But buddy, looking in the mirror, I guarantee you that 90% of the time when you find yourself in a mess, you can find where you crossed God's word. And God finally said, I'm going to take a switch to your bottom. And you ain't going to be, well, the media, and well, the president, and well, the people at the church, and well, my husband, and well, my wife, and all. The Lord's like, no, you search, I'll show you where you violated it. Well, one of the worst things that ever happened to me was, and my dad came in, and I had done something I shouldn't have done. Not bad, I broke a record, but it wasn't bad, but I lied about it, and then I tried to put it off on my brother, and I tried to tell him my brother did something. I got twice the whipping. You said, well, why did you get twice the whipping? Well, one, because I lied. But the other thing was, is because I tried to say, well, my brother did worse than I did. My dad said, I don't care what your brother, that's between me and your brother. I'm going to take care of you. You trying to blame him? What he did was worse than what you did? I'm talking to you. You think you're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and say her, him, them? You think you're going to do that? You don't think the Lord's going to look down on you and say, hey, I'm talking to you. It ain't going to be popular public opinion. If you Christians had learned that, boy, it'd sure save you some time. Keep some gray hairs off your head. Look, if you will, please, in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. Come down to verse number 29. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know what you need to do. You need to grab a hold of that. If I judge myself, I can avoid Him judging me. But you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if you won't judge yourself, I'm going to chasten you because of what you're doing, not because of what they're doing. He doesn't chasten the world. He chastens you. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son of He receiveth. No, the Lord's not interested in you telling Him what somebody else is doing. You know what He's saying? He's saying, what about you? What about you? What about you? Lord, I'd just like to call to your attention. What about you? I'll bet you a good upward of 90% time, I bet you, Philippians chapter 2, I bet you about 90% of the time you can find where you cross God's law. Now, I gotta be honest. I hear these preachers a lot of times say, you know, well, I'm one of the Lord's spoiled kids, you know, and then give you all the things that God's blessed them with and financial prosperity and health and all that. Well, I can testify. Thank you for all that stuff. I'm one of the Lord's spoiled kids when it comes to the fact that He didn't blister my backside when He should have. Spoiled me in that way. I have to look at Him, and then the Lord says, well, if I was merciful to you, you'd be merciful to... Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. Oh, I get it. You like the guy over there that I forgave a debt, and then he went out and pinned a guy against the wall that owed him 2 pennies and threw him in jail after I forgave him 5 grand. I get it. I see how you are. See, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, is you can't grasp in your mind, your little brain, how great the debt was that you owed when you sinned and the cost to eradicate that in your life. Because if you did, you wouldn't have a problem with saying, you forgave me of a lot more than 5 grand. And what you did to me is about 2 pennies. Yeah, forget about it. Philippians chapter number 2. That's the problem. All right, here's the last point. It has to do with attitude. The attitude toward being His servant. Say, I'm His servant. Well, hold on a minute. Do you do what He tells you to do? Then you're a disobedient servant if you don't. You're not worth it. You can't call yourself a servant. A servant does what he's told to do. A preacher, nobody does what they're... Look, you're not going to throw me off by throwing in the negatives and trying to throw yourself into the mercy of... No, none of us live right all the time, preacher. You're right. But could you at least put some effort in it? My dad told me I wasn't the ball player that my brother was, not baseball player. Okay at football, I guess. But my dad said this. He said, I don't care if you're all-star or not all-star. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference if you wind up on the bench. But if I show up at a practice, my dad, when he wouldn't show up at games for all the line, he'd show up at practice, pouring down rain, snowing, cold, standing out there in mud. He's got on, he looked like Bear Bryant, have on his trench coat out there and have a little hat on out there and watching me. He said, if I show up at a practice and you're not hustling between all the grass drills and you're not hustling from huddle to huddle and after you get knocked on your can, you're not back up and hustling to get back unless you're hurt. He said, boy, the coach won't have to get rid of you. I'll get rid of you. He said, because you may not be skilled, but you can hustle. He said, you're going to run everywhere you go. You say, what was that? That was told to me by a professional athlete. I think he knew something about it. And I didn't even know at the time that he was a professional athlete because he never told me. But you know what? It's true. Do you know what I see Christians do? Hey, the team's practicing. Yeah, I know. I don't like grass drills. I don't even see the need to do them. Bull in the ring? I don't play no bull in the ring. Somebody run over me, lay on my back and turn around. I'm not doing blocking dummies, doing scissor kicks, running tires. I'll be there when I get there. Hey, man, the roster's up in the locker room. I can't believe he cut me. How come I ain't on the team? Oh, I get it. I'm not like Peacock, the fair-haired boy whose daddy knows somebody. Yeah, I know what you're doing, you big mouth scoundrel. You're covering up for your own lack of enthusiasm and your lack of getting involved. You ain't got no skin in the game. You just always make it on the life of somebody else. They ought to just be glad to have my name recognition alone of being people to the stadium. The Lord ain't impressed at all. He's seen the best of the best. Did you know he knew Alexander the Great? The guy that ruled the then known world? He knew him. He made him. The guy that died a sot drunk at 33 years of age. He's in hell right now. He knew him. He made him. You hold a candle to that? My, aren't we something? Coattailing somebody else. You ain't gonna make the team that way. Oh, you're saved. You're safe in heaven. Safe. Yeah, but you don't have to worry about sliding because you ain't gonna run the risk of getting pitched out or thrown out. You ain't gonna work hard enough on your sprint from first to second to even have a chance at it. You'll think they're throwing the ball at you and you'll be mad because why did he throw me out? And I'm just going to second base and I wasn't going home. Why wouldn't he let me make second? It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? I'm trying to get your mind right. You have to do it on your own. Philippians chapter 2, real quick, verse 5. Let this mind, Brother Dale, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? There's a colon. He's going to tell you. Watch. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, so he looks just like God, right? Not just in form and fashion, but also in power and ability. Would you agree? He's God, right? Manifest in flesh, is that right? We believe that. Now watch. But made himself no reputation. Say again. But made himself of what? That's a sermon right there, isn't it? You know what a reputation is? It's what you want to believe people think of you. You know what he did? I'm God manifest in the flesh. I'm nobody. No reputation. Not known for all the great things he did. Created the heavens and the earth. The first one and the second one. Made the stars also. Named them all. No atoms. RNA and DNA and all. Nope. Robbery to be equal with God. When I'm going to go down, I'm going to make myself something. What? Number one, no reputation. You want to be spiritual? Watch it. Took upon himself the form of a what? Made in the likeness of. Here comes the other one. One more. What's the opposite of pride? Remember the devil fell? Iniquity was found in there. Remember the devil fell because of his pride? Look in verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You want to be spiritual? Paul said, I die daily. You want to be spiritual? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's the mindset. Preacher, that's not very exhilarating. It's not intended to be. The spiritual life's exhilarating between you and the Father. It's not exhilarating to other people. As a matter of fact, it's not even exciting to most people. You know what most people think about it? You got to be kidding me, man. I got saved so I could get money and health and wealth and get the chicks, and I'm good. And the Lord's like, well, you got saved for the wrong reason. I got saved to avoid hell, but you know what? I didn't realize that all this stuff had to happen. I got work to do. I don't know about you. I can try to encourage you to work, try to tell you what to do. I'll do my best with all the Lord gives me to tell you, but I got my own work to do. It's time we have a little hustle in our steps. Maybe you might ponder it tonight. Maybe you might think about it. Maybe you might consider it. You see what happens. If you change your mind, you change your heart. And if you change your heart, you change your actions. And if you change your actions, you change your destination. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed.